Let's open our Bibles back into the book of Ephesians. We're in the fourth chapter. And as we go on with this next section of his scripture, you know, it just keeps on getting better. It just does. It just builds and builds and line upon line and line upon line. Isn't that wonderful? Writing that wonderful faith in our lives. But tonight, brothers and sisters, it's going to be let the walk begin. Now, I believe we've been rejoicing since we have been blessed to start into this book of Ephesians. The wondrous plan, the promise, the provision, the power, and we know all by the grace of God. Not one of us did a thing to ever deserve anything, truly, but death, to be apart from God. But see, we have but God. But God, who is rich in mercy. And man, did he love us with his love, didn't he? Isn't that wonderful? I love that. I love how Jesus loves us. And I say us because I'm getting a vision. As I spoke to my dear brother over supper, I said, "Brother, I'm beginning to see us in Christ." There's a beauty that's beyond words. There's a beauty in the unity of the Spirit that's so transcending. We'll pass around the peach tonight, or the Holy Spirit will, let's put it that way. And by the grace of God, let's all feast. But God willing, we're going to continue on now, and we continue on one way, and that's in grace. And in grace, it's let it be practiced now in our lives. And I'm going to go ahead and pick this up from the 17th verse of the 4th chapter of Ephesians, and we'll read through the 24th verse. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Notice it's about them and their. It's their choice. God did not choose this for them. They have chosen this. "Who being past feeling," ooh, there's a word, isn't there? "Have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, this is wonderfully simple, isn't it? It's so wonderfully simple, brothers and sisters. The call to be who we are in Christ. Be who you are in Christ. I always have said it many times growing up. My dad set this up. He set it on a way. He said, "Son, quit trying to be somebody else. Just be who you are." And then the Lord got a hold of my life and he said, "Son, be who you are in me. Be who you are in Christ." No more children, he's saying here. We've read that earlier. No more as other Gentiles, as we read tonight, but to be who we are, the new man in Christ. He's calling us out, brothers and sisters, to not go back into those beggarly elements. Do you remember back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2? Let's read that together. "Where in time past ye walked." Now listen to him speak to you. "Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's where God brought you from. That's where God brought all of us from. There is none righteous, no, not one. Not one person ever sought after the Lord. God found you. I hear people say, "Oh, I found God." No, you didn't. He found you. He sought you. He called you. And by the grace of God, you responded. By grace. I love it. I'll tell you what, you're important to God. So important, he gave his son. But brothers and sisters, we read that and we understand the prince and the power of this world is Satan. The prince and the power of this world right now is Satan. Don't think it's anything different. That's how God set it up. It wasn't an oops. It wasn't an accident. It's divine. He's going to show himself faithful. He's put you in the weakest creation there ever could be. Flesh. Here we go. Huh? Come on now. And he puts you in a place where the prince and the power of this world is Satan. And he's going to show himself faithful. Yeah, he is. I love it. I love a good story like that. And that's not a story. That's just what it is. And we're living it, brothers and sisters. And he's writing and authoring, hallelujah, our faith. Praise God. He's building it in us. Isn't that wonderful? But see, the prince and the power of this world, even though it is Satan, we understand, but for Christ in me and but for Christ in you and but for grace and yielding and the new man, we as Christians can and often walk just as those that walk in death. He's reminding us this. And we have a warning here that comes out right away. And that warning is that old man lives in his empty mind. That old man lives in the vain imagination. Lies, brothers and sisters, lies. It's amazing how God had us talking about lies beforehand. We'll talk them about them again. What is a lie? A lie is something that didn't happen. It's not even real, right? Isn't that what a lie is? It's opposite from the truth. Come on now. Stay with it. I know it's late and it's Wednesday. God quicken our minds, but let's call it what it is. That's what a lie is. Now, we spoke of this on Sunday. As a man, when you start determining in yourself, in man, in his philosophies, you're just delving into lies. Do you know that? That's exactly what it is. God's word is truth. And it is the truth. And that's all it is truth. And brothers and sisters, whenever we go apart from that light, it's darkness. And it's darkness immediately. And that darkness, those vain imaginations, will always lead to shipwreck. And every one of us can testify about that in our lives, can't we? Amen. Greatest times we've ever had, when we're yielding to God, without a doubt. It doesn't matter how much He's put in your pocket, it's how much He's put in your heart. And when you got a full heart, you got it made. You just do. It's good. It doesn't matter what's there. This in Christ, as that woman said, with that little morsel of bread, what want I more? When you know you've got it, that's why these people, they have insatiable appetites. I was listening to a man today. He said, well, I can't work for that. I need 3 million, or I need 5 million, or I need 50 million. It doesn't matter. I'll give it all to you. And you know what? It'll still never satisfy you. It just won't. It never will. I'm thankful to God. He showed me that. He revealed that life to me. I know that life pulled at my life at one time. And I'm not saying that, well, look at me, I'm over it. No, I understand that is our old man. And God takes me, and God takes me, and God takes me on. Do you understand that? It's not that, oh, I've got it licked. You hear that? Then I know you don't. Do you understand that? And it's not that I'm worrying about it day to day. Oh, no, am I going to be over it or not? No, I look to the cross. I look to that blood. I look to that victory that He said, it is finished. And I know that grace is sufficient for me. Boy, do we have something to praise Him about. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He's for us, brothers and sisters. So for us. But see, we start determining in ourselves. We start to go in our own minds. Often, and I'll just speak maybe as a man tonight, well, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling independent now. Makes me feel a little cerebral, huh? Oh, I'm smart. Look at this. I'm intelligent. I can see this. Oftentimes we go that way too because we think it's going to be easier. Come on. Oh yeah, I can negotiate around God real good, can I? Huh? I'll manipulate this situation so we don't have to face that. Let me tell you something. You're going to face it. And you might as well face it right now. And let God face it for you right now. And let me tell you something. He'll do it. He will do it. There might be a giant wave that hits you right then too. I don't know. But he's going to show himself faithful. This isn't a lotus land of ease. Jesus Christ on that way to the cross, it was a joyfulness that was set before him that he endured it. But let me tell you something. It hurt. It hurt. Know it. But the joy overwhelmed the hurt. Amen? Come on now. He told me again today, son, this isn't your day. Not yet. And then he whispered, it's not our day yet. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. All right. See, that's intimacy with him. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we go that way. We go in the empty mind and the vain imaginations. It'll be leanness in your soul. It will. And you'll be sorry. I've been there. You've been there. We know it. When we don't yield to God, God in his faithfulness convicts us, doesn't he? And we're sorry. I remember Brother Hill saying, if there's any regrets, it's all those years that I didn't yield to God. Any regrets in my life? Just the moments that, Lord, I wish I would have seized upon that opportunity even more. Huh? But thanks be to God in his faithfulness. It was a way that I must go so he could show me the way that he wants my heart to be. The heart that he's given. So it's wonderful in that. But then see, you go over here to verse 18 and 19. And it describes that cursed life, those that are blind in heart. And let's go ahead and read that again. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, completely separated, divided from it. It's death it's talking about there. Through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now you see, what he's saying here is that old man is helpless, the old man is hopeless, and the old man is nothing but vile. Know it. And isn't that amazing? Often this flesh wants to go that way. Do you know it? That's why I need greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's why I got to understand the spirit is willing. This flesh is weak. It will never be willing. But the spirit is willing. And that's who we got working. Praise God. Not just for us, but in us. In us. That's the quickened life, brothers and sisters, that can apprehend grace, that can transcend me over anything. That's the life that God has given us. Now, there's no understanding to this old man. He's spiritually dead. He's ignorant. There's blindness at heart. It says here he's given over to all sexual lusts. He's given over to everything immoral. And he has an insatiable appetite for it. You ever read Romans 1? I haven't said it for a while. But let me tell you something. When you quit giving God the glory and you depart from being thankful and you separate yourself from the truth, let me tell you something. Sin will reign. Now, I understand that speaking of unbelievers. I understand that very well. But there is somebody's servant you are today. You know that? You are choosing who you're going to serve, brothers and sisters. And that's it. There's a leading in your life. Something is leading you. I'm thankful to God you're at a Bible study tonight, but this is Wednesday. Huh? Now, I don't know if we're going to get to Thursday, but what about it? Did Jesus Christ change? No. It doesn't matter if we're in these walls or not, brothers and sisters. He's in here. He's in here. And he's faithful. And he says, let me perform it for you. Let me show you. Let me show you joy unspeakable and full of glory as we go tomorrow looking for work. Or going to work. Or maybe we don't have any work. I don't know. But I know he knows. And I believe it's perfect. His word is true. He said, I'll perfect that which concerns you. Don't look at this in man's eyes, brothers and sisters. Look at this in God's heart. Rest in God's heart. Rest in God's way. But I'm telling you, it'll be Romans 1 all over again when a Christian separates from the truth, when a Christian becomes unthankful, when a Christian becomes vain in their own imagination. And let me tell you something, sin will reign. It will happen. As Paul said, don't let sin reign in your life. You know what combats it? Grace that gives me faith to believe. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm thankful how strong God is making us in our weakness, brothers and sisters. We just got to know how weak we are. You got to understand that it wasn't even you who brought yourself here tonight. That there's no goodness in this flesh. The only goodness is God. The life that He's given us. A lot of people look at that and say, well, brother, man, you just think awful low of yourself. What are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you just that. I want you to grow up in Him in all things. And the only way you're going to grow is in grace. And grace magnified in your life and feeding that new man and having him grow up in your life. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Praise be to God. Now, it says here that if we let sin reign, we understand the Word of God tells us that we become a servant of the enemy. And brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter if we're Christians. At times when we are going to let ourselves be servants of the enemy, we will act just like any other sinner. Did you know that? Can't tell us apart. Yet you know what? Your standing with God never changed. Did you know that? Did you know that you never left the hand of God? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious? But I want you to know right now that we choose either to walk in the marvelous light or we choose darkness, and it is that simple. But see, we have a hope, and that hope is in verse 20. And that hope is, but ye. Look at that. But ye. He was speaking of them and they and those. And now it's, but ye. You're different. You're marked. You have His life. You're a son of God. Oh my. Do you realize? Now that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Oh my goodness. I can't. If the Lord tarry, I just can't wait to get to Sunday. Can you imagine we're going to talk about grace? How could we not talk about anything else? But oh, how magnificent and immense. But the simplicity. Oh, it's beyond. But brothers and sisters, here it is. But ye. See, this is who we are. We're not them. Now, from time to time, we might act like them. From time to time, we may fellowship with them. Hey, we can do some fellowshipping in verses 18 and 19, can't we? But thanks be to God, I want you to listen to this. It's not you. That is not who you are. 1 John 3:9 tells us that he that is born of God doth not commit sin. Listen to that. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. And if we're caught up in our own vain imaginations, it's only a lie that has you. I remember when a brother first told me that. It was something deep going on in my life. There was a sin that was reigning in my life. And I remember how the Lord used that brother, didn't even know what was going on or anything of that. And he said, son, that's not you. And I had the hardest time. I was thinking, well, that is me. No, it's not. It's just not. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. Now let's get into this tonight, and I think we're going to see something here. Now sure, it might be happening. We know that. But see, in light of forever, brothers and sisters, we live a life that is now seated in glory with Him. Amen? Are you seated in the heavens in Christ? Amen you are if you're a child of God. I'm going to believe God, I'm not going to believe you. I'm going to believe God, I'm not going to believe your self-condemnation. I'm going to believe Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why wouldn't you want to believe that? Well, because the enemy's been talking to me so long. I just know I am. Quit disrespecting God. Really. Bring honor to your Father. And you know how you do that? Believe Him. Believe the Word of God. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith is simply believing the Word of God. Not just words, not just things that we say, but in sincerity, really taking the Word of God for your life and saying, Lord Jesus, I believe what You said here. And not only did I believe what You said here, I believe that You said it to me. That Your Word is alive forevermore. It's the only thing that's ever going to be, that's going to last. Everything's going to fade away. But Your Word endures forever. And Your Word is alive and it's living. And Your Word is Your Son. This is Jesus Christ. He's the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word's still here. Isn't that wonderful? Sure, the Word's at the right hand of God. I understand that. But by My Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, I love Him. Oh, I love Him. Hallelujah. And brothers and sisters, it's just so wonderful. That only thing, though, that when we are messing around with those lies, when we're staying around in the fellowship with lies, the thing is, though, is that we're not growing up in the reality of who we are in Christ. See, that's the sadness of it all. You're still a child of God. You're still beloved. Isn't that wonderful? He loves you. Accepted. You're still favored. Nothing's changed. You're still blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. He didn't ever even take any of it away. Do you realize that? You think in the natural, you know, my kids do the first thing, oh, your phone's going. Now I got an older boy, give me them car keys. Got a bicycle in the garage. See, God doesn't do that though, does He? He doesn't. He doesn't do that at all. I gave it. You have the life. I see you as I see my son, because you are my son. It's amazing how He loves us, brothers. See, we can't even love like there's only God can love through us like that. But let's get it. Let's get this. And I'm going to tell you, we get this and we'll grow up in Him. But see, when we grow in that reality of who we are in Christ, the more life comes in. We start to see the glory of God. We start to see the riches of God. But it's all in His grace. Understand that. It's going to be the exceeding riches of His grace in the ages to come. It's never going to change. He's going to show us how much we're loved. And then it's going to be revealed more. And manifold more. And many folds more. And oh my goodness, it's going to go on forever. And ever and ever and ever. But brothers and sisters, when we turn from that, when we go in the way of our imaginations, what happens is that eternity, that wondrous inheritance, starts to slip away. It does. I'm talking about the great inheritance, the bridal inheritance, the place in the very midst of the throne. As He said, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I've been saying it for the last few weeks. He saw me at the well. He told me He did. He said, honey, I saw you there. I sent my Spirit to you. I gave you that heart to believe it. We had an appointed time. You said you'd go. I've come for my words. Huh? I've come for your words. It's just so wonderful. And as that sister said, that's why it's just so delirious in my heart. The Word came for His words. Try that one on. Oh, gosh. It's just beyond. Brothers and sisters, He's faithful. He's faithful to perform the good work which He's begun. I've had some people challenge me as of late, brother, you're sounding like you've apprehended it. And I said, no. Oh, no. But I trust by grace I'm going to apprehend it. I trust by grace the moment I have my last breath on this life, this heart, because of Him, will say, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He gave that message for something. And that something is to join Him in the very midst of the throne. Know it. Know it. We don't need to wrestle with this. We don't need to run around fretting anymore, do we? A bride that knows her groom loves her does not fret. She rests as He rests in her. She's just focused on being with Him. Even all the plans of the wedding and all, isn't that wonderful? He's taking care of it. He didn't tell her to get to planning this and get to planning that, huh? Like brides do down here. Let me tell you something, you got a groom. And He's done it all. He's got the feast set up. He's got the guests arranged. He even picked out a dress for her. Oh, Jesus. We just get a little vision of it's His work. It's His work. It'll be something, won't it? But brothers and sisters, He's pleading with us. Just hold that fast which thou hast. It's a crown of grace, isn't it? Just hold the grace. Hold the love. It wasn't your work. I just gave it to you. Right? Just hold it. I'm not clutching it like holding it on. I'm cherishing it. I'm just cherishing that absolute, completely undeserved love. Unmerited love. And let me tell you something. There's nothing more that thrills His heart. He just sits there and says, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just as I say thank you to Him, He says thank you to me. He lived in a body like this. He knows how weak it is. Not only did He make it, He became man. He knows how weak this is. Isn't that amazing? That's why He can joy. That's why the Father was so well pleased in all of it. He was obedient unto death. And when we yield to that grace and apprehend that grace, and yield. Do you realize how that pleases Him? Oh God. But we're in a battle, brothers and sisters, and it's a sweet battle. Two natures warring against themselves. Sin in the flesh and the new man. But I'm going to glory in the new man. How about you? That spirit man, the true worshiper that worships Him in spirit and in truth. And you've got that. Just unleash it. All by grace. All by grace. Verse 20 and 21, we'll move along. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. And really listen to just the simplicity in those words right there off the face of it before we start really dividing it down here. If so be that ye have, here's how you learn Him. You hear Him. And you've been taught by Him. See, you haven't been taught by Brother Hill. You haven't been taught by Brother Jesse. You're taught by Him. Do you realize that? You're taught by Him. And you heard Him. And where's the truth? In one place. In Jesus. Isn't that precious? That's why we're without excuse. Oh, I had a bad teacher. This is it. Come on. Now, I know there's ones that'll want to lead you astray. But let me tell you something. God abideth faithful, doesn't He? Yeah. You got a heart for God? By His grace? He'll feed you. He'll feed you. Praise the Lord. Now, so it says we've heard, we've been taught, and we know. And thanks be to God, we've been in a place and God has inspired us in His Word. But it's the Holy Spirit-inspired instruction, brothers and sisters. And it says in the Word of God there in Luke 12:48, to whom much is given, much is required. And I had to look that word up. And that word required means to have a craving. Do you hear that? To be expected to inquire. You're expected to inquire. You're expected to have a craving. Wow. Wait a second, Lord. You said that wasn't of me. You're right. But I gave it to you. So what are you doing with it? Do you see that? I remember growing up many times, I said, oh, I wish I'd be like brother so-and-so. I wish I had the heart of sister so-and-so and all of that. God got a hold of me. He said, son, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Why don't you just believe that you have it? Is it just you're supposed to have the spirit of praise and I don't? Oh, it's my personality. I'm a little shy. Nice try. Don't work. It doesn't. Be who you are in Christ. And Christ is, praise God, that spirit loves to praise. And that spirit, it can't contain itself at times. That spirit's free. Liberty. Oh my goodness. He's dealing with this, isn't he? So see, when we're expected to inquire, it comes back to the thought of the lover, the one that woos and courts and gives everything that he has for her. And let me tell you something. He's looking for a response. He is. He just is looking for love. He wants love. He wants you to love him. He's first loved us. And he wants that response to be now. Because as that Shulamite showed us, even just delaying for a moment, looking at the myrrh in her hands to get to the door, he was gone. Yes, he was. The chaste virgin goes after him. Love draws her away. Love draws her away from among them. You know that? It isn't anything in her. It's just love. She sees it. She sees how good he is. I want to be with him. I don't want to depart. I want that face before me always. And if we expect to win him, brothers and sisters, that's the heart by grace. We need to ask the Lord, bring it out. Bring it out in me. Brothers and sisters, this is certainly not the time for us to play hard to get. It's not. It's time to submit, and it's time to submit now. Allowing him to sweep us off our feet. Inquire and crave. Think about Brother David giving us that sweet testimony. He said, my heart pants after him. That means I'm delirious for him. I love it. God was looking upon the heart. He saw that brother had a heart. And a heart that was after God's very own heart. Isn't that amazing? That's what he saw in that man. And all those other people said, well, I see an adulterer. I see a fornicator. I see a killer. God said, no. Well, I see a man after my own heart. Yeah. That's one I see. Solomon, as I was visiting with a brother a couple times this week in two different ways. Oh, that Solomon, sweet man. Sure, he was a sweet man. Called out there to be the temp, build the temple and all that. Oh, everybody's singing his praises. Man, we got peace here. Everybody's got money. He's a leader. See? David, bloody man. David, you're not going to have any peace in your kingdom. People saw it, fighting in his family. But at the end where it counted, David loved my statutes. He loved my word, didn't he? He loved my word. He was perfect before me in that. God didn't have any other thing to count, did he? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that just fabulous? And it said that Solomon was not perfect in all those ways like his father David. And man would have got up there in their counsel and their judgment and their robes and said, oh no, David's the wicked one. And God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. He's taken the lowly and He sets them up. And He's never changed. He's never changed. So brothers and sisters, all I can say is I'm thankful that He's causing us to crave for the tender kisses of His mouth. What do you think, huh? And see, that's just something in the natural that I can kind of understand. But by My Spirit, saith the Lord, I give you a little glimpse, a spiritual glimpse of what a body like unto My own glorious body is going to be someday. When your faith is going to be made whole. When we're going to know Him as we are made, as we are known. Pretty beyond. Pretty beyond. Hallelujah. All right, we'll finish up 22 through 24 here. Now let's read it as it is written. From 22, and really stay with me on this. That ye have put off. It's a big word missing out of there. But the word is have. Know it. If you have a Scofield, you'll see it in there. The true translation says, that ye have put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now this portion, I'm going to tell you, is one of the most wrestled with portions of Scripture, maybe in the entire Bible. And yet, when you just take it for what it says and what it is and receive it in the grace of God, I believe it's one of the most simple and the most exciting. And those words, have put off and have put on. We have a moment, and I want you to get some sufficient witness in this. So let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it says there, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Listen to that. That's who you are. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now, I think so often how we praise Him for how He loves us, don't we? I'm thankful to God. But do you praise Him for how He sees you? I mean, really? Oh, I can't go that far. No, really. Do you praise Him for how He sees you? He sees you perfect. He sees you just as Himself. That's the life that He sees, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about crucified together, raised together, seated together. Just as Himself. Now, this is not a doing thing. This is a being thing. Got it? It's not a doing thing. It's a being thing. And I'm sorry that sometimes we even have to read through footnotes to get a true translation, but that translation is have put on and have put off, and that means it's an event that has already happened. It happened at Calvary, and at the moment, brothers and sisters, that we received Jesus Christ as Savior, the transaction was made. Old man gone, and new man came in. You're not going to hear that many places, are you? Well, we can't keep them coming back. See, if we told them that that was true, then what do we need to preach to them for? I've heard that kind of nonsense before. You know that there's pastors that want to keep you in fear? Do you know there's religions that want to keep you in fear? Because they want to try to control you? Let the Lord control you. Let His Word lead you. Let me tell you something. He's the one that's over you. Now praise the Lord. I hope to be an under-shepherd that would encourage your heart. But you got one head, and that's Jesus Christ. And know it. And any organization or any religion, any person that tries to control your life, they're not right. They're not. You have one head. And that's Jesus. All right? And as we submit to Him, we submit to one another. We do. We don't try to outdo each other. We understand that we're one in Him. That this is all to the glory of the head, isn't it? And we glorify the head by being submissive to one another. Doesn't mean to be walked on, don't get me wrong. That's not what this is talking about. But to prefer one another before even self, brothers and sisters. All right? To take time. God encourages our hearts to this, especially in this high water mark of Ephesians. But brothers and sisters, grace is exactly what it is. Grace is exactly what it is. It's just unmerited love. Undeserved favor and mercy. It is finished is exactly what it means. It's done. His cleansing blood is exactly what it did. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. You going to believe the word of God? Or are you going to keep looking at you in the mirror? Quit looking in the mirror. Start looking at the new man in here. Really. Get free. Get free. And you've been made free indeed. You really are. You're free. I'm so grateful to God you're free. Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. The 29th verse. For whom he did foreknow. He knew you. He saw you. Us in Christ. He also did predestinate. See, he's got a path, doesn't he? He's got a plan. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I'm going to just write back up there in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. And he glorified. I'm looking at a bunch of them. Do you know that? Do you know that he'll finish that good work? Do you really know it? Do you know that he'll perform that? I don't know. I think you'd be jumping on and standing on the pews if you did. But I know it's getting late. But brothers and sisters, we're brand new. We're his workmanship. Never to be that formal vile thing again. And the key is, as we close this up, is in that 23rd verse. And the way it reads there is being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Being. Let that word just grip you. Being. Just be. Let. Yield. Allow. You know I love sports. And the Lord brought it to me. I'm looking at the Michael Jordan of the spirit world. Huh? Come on, just let it happen. See, he was the best. I'm not even going to argue with you. He was the best. And Christ in you is the best. Know it. You know, as I visit with my sons a lot of times too, they find that the top athletes, physically speaking, when you get to those levels, they're all the same. You know? They're all beyond strong, beyond fast, beyond huge, beyond all these things. But the champion of champions, the reason the difference is the mind. It's the mind. And it takes them over the top. It separates them. They believe. They have a vision of it. They're convinced. So convinced that even when they get out on the field, sometimes some of their body parts, I mean, really are almost torn off And you know, they keep on playing. They do. They're champions here. All right? They know it. They have a vision of it, brothers and sisters. And a vision of the perfecting grace completing that work in us. That's what we need to have. God makes all of us super achievers or champions if we will believe Him. The Spirit is love, and totally immersed in His love mind enlightens all of verse 23, and it tells me I have put on the new man. That's who I am. I am His new creation of total, pure righteousness and holiness. That's something. And now He says, just go on and grow up in it. Isn't that awesome? And I know a few of us came here tonight thinking, okay, Lord, what work do I got to do now? As brother told me some time back, the only work you got to do is work to unlearn those things that were learned incorrectly. Unlearn them. Brothers and sisters, get away from that stuff. That's those vain imaginations. That's it's not who you are. Those are lies. Those are lies. Huh? Love melts the heart. Love changes everything. Did you know that? Love changes everything. If you're not changing from more glory to glory, you're not allowing the love of God to work. That's as simple as it is. Love softens the hardened heart. Love breaks up the fallow ground. Love lets God work when there's no strength to get over a situation. And when love, brothers and sisters, invades our hearts and our thoughts, all things are possible because God is love. Don't ever give up. And it's not something within. It's just I abound in hope. I know God can change that. I know God has a perfect plan in it. Sometimes I think, Lord, I hit the wall. And He says, watch my love tear it down. I love that. And it's becoming so immediate anymore. When those things try to bog me down, when a weight tries to somehow lay itself on me, God immediately comes in with peace. And it breaks it. It breaks it. And that is the new man, brothers and sisters. And that new man is a lover. The lover of your soul, and can cause your heart to be the lover of his heart. The new man is fully righteous and holy. I'm reading about you. Pay attention now. A son of God now. God sees you just as He sees His Son Jesus. Because the life we now live is Christ in me. Huh? Come on. Now you're going to go to bed well if you believe this. I have His life. His life is who I am and who we are in Christ. And He is nothing but righteous and holiness. And that's exactly what we have been made in Him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Now, do you believe that He's done that now? Do you believe that that is finished? Now He says, go on and grow in grace. We started in it. We've gone this far in it. And it's the only thing that's going to perfect and finish and make you the masterpiece. Amen? I love it. It's never changed, brothers and sisters. And we'll talk about that simplicity on Sunday, I believe, God willing. Let's stand and be dismissed.